SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And we certainly were engaged yesterday, getting off the air at noon and looking forward to the nightcap. We got our little filly. She's not little anymore, actually. I got to stop calling her the little filly because she's gotten tall. Got her turf start in. Minute Mouse ran well. Ran a little trouble at the top of the stretch, but really fun and encouraging. Enjoyed that, and then was watching as each of the major venues for Saturday drew their cards. And you know, one thing we haven't mentioned: the Charlestown Classic. It's Charlestown Classic time, and it should be easy for me to remember because it's always the Saturday that it comes as I drive to Kentucky. And one year I drove through and stopped and stayed Saturday night. Actually stayed on the Maryland side and got my exposure to Charlestown and the Charlestown Classic. And it's a big night there. And the players turn out and, you know, the gaming hall is packed. And ideally, if the weather's nice, it's a really special day, and you got the big names show up, and it's a lot of money, let's face it, $1 million, and given the state, as Andy Serling said on Tuesday, given the state of the handicap division, you rounded up some of the usual and some of the unusual suspects for this group. And we'll go through it when we get a moment. But the Mid-Atlantic region really is the focus on Saturday. In the afternoon at Laurel, the Match Series season kicks off, and the four divisions, they start the stakes sequence at Laurel. The Whiteley and the Primonetta, the Dahlia, and the King Leatherberry. And King joining Eddie Delahousse as people honored by a stake named for them while they're still alive. Right? Enjoy it. That's a line from that's a line from Pearly. If you ever saw Pearly, enjoy it while we're still above ground. Yeah, the King Leatherberry and the Eddie Delahousse. I don't know if there's any. I'm sure there's a couple of others that I haven't thought of, but among racing elite and racing royalty, Eddie D and King have races named for them. Yeah, the King Leatherberry is a turf sprint. Appropriately, it's kind of a Ben's Cat nod. Certainly, and part of the Match Series. In fact, Alan Foreman will be on with us tomorrow. Not so much, you know, the Match Series will certainly come up, obviously, as it kicks off its second year, reborn. And speaking of born, Alan in New York today for the birth of a grandchild. So a big mazel tov to the Foremans. I think it's sometime, they expect it sometime later today, but Alan was traveling yesterday. I reached out to him. He was traveling to the city. He was training it up, or he was traveling today, maybe, because I asked him if he wanted to come on. I want him to address the news I mentioned from yesterday, Churchill, Keeneland, Naira, in negotiations, discussions regarding a Lasix restriction program to start with the two-year-olds next year, and then expand to all stakes for 2021, which would set up a scenario that would see potentially a Derby and Belmont without Lasix. And I would think by that point, maybe Stronach Group will expand their concept to the rest of their tracks, Florida and Maryland. But anyway, we'll talk to Alan about the really strong participation that this first round of match 2019 received. The Dahlia, long on the turf for the Phillies and Mares. The Primanetta, short on the dirt, Phillies and Mares. The Leatherberry, turf sprinting. The Whiteley, dirt sprinting. And in addition to those races, there's also the Clark that closes out the card. That's for boys long on the grass. And then the three-year-old races leading into the Black Eyed Susan and the Preakness. You got the Weber City Miss, which feeds in to the Black Eyed Susan. And that group seems to be missing a filly that I would have expected in here. And I'm trying to think of who I... Lacetus is there for Katie Voss. And Money from Heaven for Hammy Smith. Those are the heavy heads. Our Super Freak for Jamie Ness has been solid. Solid, if not spectacular. And thank you for John White. John White reminding me just now, the Dwayne Lucas Classic at Churchill. So there's the Holy Trinity of living legends. Eddie D., King Leatherberry, and Dwayne Lucas, honored with stakes while they're above ground. The Tessio, of course, is going to lead into the Preakness, and all eyes on Always Mining. Kelly Rubley has been very deliberate and planning, carefully laying out the Always Mining, had considered something like the Wood, and had been, you know, at some point, had been rumored for any of the New York stakes, but kept to task, stayed at Fair Hill, competed at Laurel, and rides a 5-race win streak that started with a allowance race at Laurel last October, then into the Maryland Futurity, then the Hefts, Mr. and Mrs., Arnie and wife, and whose name I'm going to forget, the Miracle Wood and the Private Terms. So streaking, Always Mining, looking for a Preakness berth in the mile and an eighth. Federico Tessio faces 5. Bazzini for Maya Engelhart, a horse that he owns, and was second recently to Still Dreaming. You had Dixie Draw for Hammy. We've got to look into, you know, Hammy Smith had been not... had a little health bout over the winter, and this is a gelding that this is skedaddle and a South Carolina bred by Done Talking that his brother Gory bred. Dixie Drawl coming out of the Private Terms. Try for Gold, Mark Schumann for Copper Penny. This is one of their homebreds. By Tri-Tap, Tybalt, Claudio Gonzalez, and Majid, the Zayat, Rudy Rodriguez, recent winner at Laurel going a mile. So a six-pack with Always Mining certainly going to be a heavy favorite. And then the Clark. And Grand Motion in there with Irish Straight. The Jersey bred, the English Channel gelding, the Irish out of Irish Sovereign, Mrs. De Tomaso, and they're trying to go back to back on stake wins, because of course in New York the other day, Regally Irish won the Bridgetown, poor ill fated Bridgetown. The rest of the action, kind of an assortment. You got New York breds Saturday for real money in the Stallion Series, as well as Keeneland Double Dog Dare tomorrow, the Grade 3, the Elkhorn, the Grade 2 on Saturday, no stake on Sunday. Woodbine, getting kicked off. Speaking of kickoffs, Lone Star today starts back. So it's been a big transitional week between Indiana and second day of the meet, of course, yesterday. Fairmont, Lone Star today, Woodbine coming as well. So it's that time of year. It's spring. Normally Oaklawn would be over, but it's not. Oaklawn is going to continue. And in fact, I'm remiss because I haven't pulled up the Arkansas action from Saturday, but I'll tell you that the Rainbow and the Rainbow Miss, I know, are being run this weekend. And I had the real pleasure. This was must have been on Friday at Oaklawn. Had the real pleasure of meeting Burl McBride and introduced by our friends Frank and Dawn. And Frank's from Connecticut, in fact, from Waterbury. And Dawn, I met them, I think last year for the first time, or maybe it was the year, maybe it was the first time I came. I've been three of the last 4 years at Oaklawn. But Burl McBride, of course, a rider before Mike Smith came from New Mexico. Burl McBride came out of New Mexico and was a very successful rider in New England. Leading rider at Rockingham, rode Rhode Island, and has been training, you know, small strings, a handful of horses, you know, really since he retired. I think around 80, early 80s, 80, 81. And so he, you know, continues and is somebody that is basically based around Arkansas and has got some nice Arkansas breds that he's campaigning. And he's got a good one in the Rainbow. He's got one in each. And I think he said the male is particularly good. You know, and they're doing the I Am Horse Racing initiative out of California, and you want to do an I Am Horse Racing, pick out a Burl McBride. That's the real thing. And McBride, he's got a story that I should let him tell it. I hope he wins. If he get Burl, I promised him I want to get him on the show because he was based at Ellis Park when the tornado came through. And my friend Jack from here, from the Saratoga area, he had like four horses at Ellis at the time. And Burl McBride he said he had six horses at the time, and fortunately, one of them, his best one, was down at Churchill at the time. And the other five were killed in the tornado. And the one that survived, the one that luckily wasn't at Ellis when the tornado demolished the place, the one that survived was a stake filly that he ended up selling for real money, the Dam of Palace Mouse. So you want to talk about, you know, hard luck and good luck and the vagaries of the game, a Burl McBride can tell you those from getting on horses as a boy to, you know, becoming a successful journeyman and carving out a career and a life and then continuing on. You know, and doing, you know, kind of that. We talk about John Hancock and you know, some of the horsemen, Gary Capuano, that get their hands on young horses, get them going, win early, and sell. And that's their business. They develop, you know, they'll pick out some young horses. You heard Wesley Ward yesterday, and we'll talk about Wesley in a little bit about the day he had yesterday, and obviously that Narabeth that he was doting on if you didn't see that performance, make sure you pull up the replay from the fifth yesterday. He also won with the other one, Chili Perrin? Chili Perrin in the third. The American Pharoah finished third at Aqueduct. So the first North American Pharoah baby finished third, and I've got it here somewhere. Tessarina? Tessarina, I think. But overall, overall, it was a very good day for Wesley. That Nea Beth for Ramon Talage and Rosario off by 4 or 5 lengths. Very nice. And Chili Petten, Hat Creek, the City Zip. The Nea Beth, the first starter in anywhere for Carpe Diem. And, of course, you had a front row seat for Carpe Diem, courtesy of Bo Lane, going back to the start of his career. And, you know, then moving into the shed row, or into the stallion barn, that career, Bo Lane also, Bo pretty much said he's going to be a hit. So he's one for one to get going. And that Owlette ended up second in that spot. So we got to cover some of that stuff off. And we'll also visit with Dick Powell in this hour, Tony Black, Steve Askin, Rich Eng. And we'll head for the break. Yeah, let's do that. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Randy Hill. I promised this yesterday. And Randy, with all the pairings going on for Derby, you know, you got the two Pletchers, you got the two Bill Motts, you got the three Bafferts, the two Candy Rides, the two Warfronts. You got the two Randy Hills. Truthfully, there's only one Randy Hill. the two-legged Randy Hill. The horses, Vekoma with the Gatsis team. Mike Gatsis and Matt and the family. They're all excited with Vekoma and George Weaver. And then Tax, partnered with the Reeves and more. That and Danny Gargan. But Randy Hill, who I've known Randy Hill for a long time. And it's funny, I was trying to think. I can remember being, I guess it was probably at Saratoga. And George and Randy were sitting behind me. Was it Saratoga? Or was it Gulfstream? Might have been Gulfstream. For a steak. It was Gulfstream. Because they'd be in the box at Saratoga. And this was in the seating. It had to be Gulfstream. And we watched. What was the horse? Indy. I always want to say that Indy 500 was his, but she was a mare. It was something Indy. I'll ask. I don't know if Randy remembers this, but that was really the first time I remember talking to Randy Hill, and one of the most lighthearted and affable and fun people at the racetrack, particularly at Saratoga, where he's there virtually the whole meet. For him at this point, he's had nice horses, and he's been involved with nice horses over the years. You know, the Mabry's Boy was his first kind of that breakthrough horse early on. And he won the Swale or something like that. And then he's had isolated stake horses along the way. He's been fiercely loyal to George Weaver, to his credit, and Vekoma's emergence, and then what's gone on with Tax. It it's one of the really cool stories going into Derby this year. And everybody that's along for the ride is going to have a lot of fun. We always have fun talking to Randy. He's been on before. I'm almost positive. So Randy Hill starts us off this morning. We'll talk about, you know, how he got involved in the game. He's basically Saul Kuhlman way before anybody ever heard of Saul Kuhlman, because he's also a fund manager and predates Saul by a good 10 plus years. We'll take a break at the races. Randy Hill starts us off.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet, and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. I was just in Memphis on Sunday. It's the only way to get back to Albany from Hot Springs. You can't. It's funny. You can get to Hot Springs from Albany, but you can't get back. You have to. You gotta go to Memphis, which is fine. I've made a ritual of that now on these three excursions to Oaklawn. Well, there's an excursion coming up for the Hills. Who were just at Keeneland a week ago for the big Saturday, Bluegrass and the Commonwealth. But they're going back to Kentucky. And Randy only has to walk over from the barns to the Derby paddock. You only have to walk over once, but you're going to have to hope that the horses are close to each other. We're talking about Tax and we're talking Vekoma. It's one of the great stories going into Derby 19. That Randy Hill, the principal in both of these Derby starters. Randy, congratulations.
Well, Steve, thanks so much. I mean, you've known me a long time. You can't even imagine how thrilled I am and how impossible this is, like my dream come true.
it's like a three cushion shot in billiards. It's crazy that it would all come together. And frankly, you flirted with a third horse because not that Brady, if it wasn't for that quarter crack and Rudy having to nurse his hoof, he probably could have made it.
We thought he had a good chance too, but you know, you think about it, you know, been in the game for 20 years and you go to the Keeneland sales, it's like being in spring training. You think you're going to win the World Series. You always think you're picking out that horse that's going to go to the Derby. And then it's like the dream you're chasing all your whole life. And then I end up with two horses in the Derby. It's like, I can't tell you what a feeling I have and how excited I am.
Well, and of course, along the way, you know, winning a race like the Remsen last year and the Bluegrass this year with Vekoma, and Vekoma's getting a ton of attention because of his crazy way of going. Then Danny Gargan, and you know, you started to get involved with Danny, I assume, with Divine Miss Gray, right? Was that your first tie-in?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Danny called me up and offered me a piece of half of Divine Miss Gray, and I looked at the PPs, and I thought, you know, the horse has never missed a race, never missed a workout. I figured I couldn't get her with her. So little did I know she was going to go on to win six stakes at like $800,000. So it was a nice start with a new trainer.
Well, and he's done. I've lauded his work with her. I mean, he's done an amazing job with Divine Miss Gray, and you know, continues on into this year. I want to get some of the backstory into this conversation, and I was kidding as I went to the break. You know, everybody, there's a lot of attention with the success involved around Sol Cumin, but you were Sol Cumin 15, 20 years ago, before Sol was in high school, when you were trading on Wall Street and made your way into the game.
When I started on Wall Street, Seth started his mutual fund, which is now one of the big Valpos.
Right,
now one of the big and most successful. And I met Seth. I'm sure he doesn't remember. Actually, we talked a little bit at Saratoga last year. But I was a young salesman, just started my own company, and Valpos is one of my first clients buying research for me. So we're kind of interrelated in a backhanded way.
I love it. Well, and you know, the number of people that have come from, you know, the financial services trade into the game is pronounced. Who got you involved? When did you start coming to the track?
Oh God, we used to have a house. My aunt used to have a house down in the Jersey Shore, and my mother and I go down for the summer. The truth is, she'd take me to Monmouth Park every Saturday and play 2-6 and 6-2 in a daily double when I was about 7 years old. So I was going to the track for a long, long time, and then I got into college, and two of my fraternity brothers were really interested in the races, and we'd go to the races every once in a while, and then after we graduated, I went up to Saratoga, and that was kind of the end for me. I fell in love with the Saratoga and ended up buying a house up there, and then I did a pretty nice deal on Wall Street, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy two horses just so I can race in Saratoga, but I'm never going to buy another horse because everybody tells me it's the hardest thing in the world, so I'm going to buy two, and that's going to be it. And I bought a horse, and I named it after my mother. My name was Mabry, and I named it Mabry's Boy. And he went out to win the spectacular bid and was the second choice in the Derby Futures book. And I'm saying, this game isn't so hard. What's everybody talking about? And then he ran. He was running in the Florida Derby, and he was turning for home, and he bowed his tendon on the way home. And so I got a good dose of what the game's like, and as you know, it can be a cruel game sometimes, but when you win, there's nothing like it.
You know, and Mabry, I said the swale, but the spectacular bid makes sense.
Yeah.
And was Shug, did Shug train him?
Yeah, Shug trained for him. Shug was my first trainer. Shug trained him for a while, and then I ended up getting a horse called Christine's Outlaw. And Shug and I.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I turned Christine's Outlaw over to George, who then became, at that point, probably one of my better horses, one of my best horses. And well, till now, it's like night and day. But so I had a lot of early success. I won a lot of grade twos, a lot of grade threes. But, Steve, I've never won a grade one. So, and I've got Divine Miss Gray in a grade one at Oaks Day. So if you imagine my weekend, I got the Blindness Gray into the La Trion on Oaks Day, and then I got two in the Derby. I mean, my feet don't hit the ground these days.
And what about Majestic Dunhill?
That horse is like a street fighter. You can't love a horse. I don't think I ever owned a horse I love more than him. You know, we had him on the grass. He won a couple of small stakes. He won the Frenchman at Monmouth. And then George and I kind of said, well, he's turning four, and his buyers were such that we thought, you know, really, what are we going to do with him? So George said, look, he's working pretty well on the dirt. Let's put him on the dirt. And, you know, from there, I mean, he finished second. I finished second in the stakes, and he ran the Commonwealth and just didn't get any pace to run at. But he's a good horse. He's a nice horse. He's going to win. He ran a five on the sheets in the race before last. So all of a sudden, he got real good. So, you know, I don't know. I'm bathing in my success because, as my wife says to me, you better enjoy every moment because you know this doesn't happen very often.
Well, that's no doubt. And you know, I should mention to you, Majestic Dunhill's on my mind because this morning when I was going through today's two-year-old races, Wayne Rice is debuting the Gemologist half-brother of Majestic today, Al Cools.
I know. That's very cool.
Al Cools. You know, I also, there was something you did, too, that you know, not that you were the first to start partnering up, but you've been very willing from early on. I remember you had Together Indy with Vic Fontana. You had, right?
Yes, he's my partner, in my business partner.
Okay.
And I convinced him to get into horse racing. And he was an accountant before he became a partner in the firm. So you can imagine getting an account to buy a horse race. So he buys his first horse. He runs. He wins the Commonwealth, and he never buys another horse. So that's the opposite side of the coin.
He got out. He got out on top.
I guess. I don't know. He looked at me now and he said, "I guess I got out too early."
Well, you also the Fiddler's Green people. You had a nice New York bred.
Yeah, I bought that horse. You know, Jimmy Olsen, who had. End of the road, Dr. Disaster, he had, I'm sorry, Dr. Disaster, been a really good friend of mine up at Saratoga, and I wanted to give a small piece to Jimmy so he could kind of, you know, still own a horse, and so we had a lot of success with that. You know, we won that race down in Maryland, Jim
McKay,
the sportscaster. Yeah, Jim McKay. We won that. We won that with Fiddler. He was a fast horse. He had the track record at Saratoga. And then the next time he ran up there again, another stakes, and he won it, and he tied his track. He said, "God, if I would have known that, I would have just tapped him one more time."
The partnerships. I mean, you tied in with the Reeves. I always am joking with George about how much fun it may be. You know, Fun Central in the Saratoga boxes. There is no more raucous a group than you and George, and then the satellite, the everybody that comes in, Matt Gatzis, the Dean and Patty. It's really it's quite a scene almost daily.
Well, we're there every day. We love it. You know, it's interesting because when I first started, I didn't really want any partners, and you know, I didn't think it would be a good idea. And then as time went on, two things happened. One, I realized if you get partners, you can spread more than you can. And then you know, Steve, the thing that kills you in the business is the expenses. So that way you get to spread the expenses. And then I met Dean and I met Matt, and they are great partners. I mean, you know, they're people who understand the game, and you have to have a partner who understands. You can pay a lot of money for a horse, and, you know, you may be running it for maybe 20 when the horse is two. So if they don't understand that, they can't be a partner. So I'm fortunate to have two really great partners, and to have both of them in the Derby is unbelievable. I mean, I partnered one horse with Dean, we're in the Derby. I partnered the other horse with Mike, and we're in the Derby. And there's, like you said, when we walk into Kentucky, I hope your post positions are close to each other.
Otherwise, you're gonna have to bop back and forth. Well, they could also. I don't know if it. Do they have to go when they send them for the walkover?
You're right. I already asked that. I'm working on that.
All right. If you can put them fairly close, and let's talk the story between the two horses, and we'll start with Vekoma, the Candy Ride, and you know, he's had the conventional more or less the conventional career. The Belmont September debut, he wins it first asking, wins the Nashua. I said the Remsen earlier, wins the Nashua, comes back, and George made it very clear for the Fountain of Youth that it was a means to an end. He wasn't geared up. We've got a plan, you know, to get to the Derby. And, you know, from every vantage point, it feels like, you know, you guys have pushed every button, you know, very cleverly in the five starts, you know, through leading up to the fifth start in the Derby.
Well, Steve, you got to give Georgia credit for that. There's a lot of pressure, and even from me. You're in Saratoga. You want your horses to run. That's where you want to win. And, you know, George said to Randy, we have the best colt we ever had, and we're not going to be pressured to do anything. And I'm not an owner who micromanages. I listed my trainer. George's done a fantastic job. After we win the Nashua, the pressure's on us to run in the Remsen, and George said, no. He was a May foal, and lost some weight, and George said, no, we're going to give him some time off. We've got a plan. And then we were talking about going into the Florida Derby, and George and I sat down, and we said, look, George said he'll be better off with one more week, and I think we have a better shot in the Bluegrass. And so, obviously, that's turned out to be true. I mean, George hasn't made one mistake, and he's fought off the pressure to speed up racing the horse. So I give George 100% of the credit, as much as I give Gargan the credit for both Divine Miss Gray and also Tax.
And I got to ask a George Weaver question. How did you come by George, and who got you to him? Because he was just getting started.
Well, it's an interesting story. I started off with Mike Ryan was picking horses out for me.
Nice.
And Mike Dushug, pretty well, and so Shug started racing a couple of horses for me. But I was kind of Shug's got the fips and. I'm kind of a small fish in a big pond, and Chug was a great in the Hall of Fame trainer, and I was lucky to have, you know, to have him to start off with, and then Mike came to me and said, I've got a new young trainer. He works with his wife. They're a terrific team. You know, instead of, if you really want to go with somebody, if you want to take a chance, I highly recommend George. He was with Wayne, and he was with Todd, and he said, you know, you're going to be the number one horse in his barn, and I remember. When we led Christina's Outlaw in it, George looked at me and he said, thank you so much. What a great way to get started together. So I started with him, and he was my only trainer forever. I mean, one of the things I always talk about is sometimes the lack of loyalty in this game. I've always only been with George, and when I went to partners with somebody else, I said, if George couldn't train the horse, then I wouldn't go partners. And I ran up to Danny in Saratoga, and he was such a character. And we got to be friends, and he offered me, you know, a piece of Divine Miss Gray, and so that's how I got involved with Danny,
which is nice. But the fact that you've been with George virtually from the start, I mean, he started
from day one.
I mean, I think 2002 was he had a handful of horses that started, and he was a Calder at the time,
right.
Getting started way
and
back.
When George was at Calder, we talked, and I said, George, look, you have to make up your mind where you want to train. You know, it's up to, you know, we had a discussion. And I said, look, I'm happy to give you my horses. I'm thrilled to give you my horses. But the point is, I'm a New York guy. I don't want to go to Calder. So I think George thought it over, and I think he wanted to be a New York guy. It's only been a successful story. He's been a very good trainer.
You and Peachtree were the first
right? Yeah, Peachtree, right? Yeah, they gave George some horses. Yep,
absolutely. Well, and this one, I mean, and you know, you look at him now with $750,000 in earnings, and a graded stake win at two, graded stake winner at three, and the son of a son of Candy Ride, $135,000 as a Keeneland yearling feels like a real bargain at this point.
Steve Inosa picks my horses out.
That
is nice. Honest and nice guy in this whole industry. I consider my cat him as a dear friend of mine, and you know I can look at a horse and I can handicap, but I can't tell you much to look at a horse, you know, when you're down there, you know, walk him twice and then bid $200,000 in the ring. Walk him once, walk him twice. Okay, I'll bid $200,000. And I work on Wall Street. People look at me and think that I've lost my mind. My partner with the Keeley said, so we're going to go bid on that horse. We just saw him walk twice. When do we see him run? You see him run after you buy him. So that horse had a minor vet thing that kind of scared some people off. And Steve and I really, and George believed that wouldn't be an issue. I forget now even what it was. It was so minor. And so a bargain, you know, you kidding me? You never pay too much for a bad one. So.
Yeah. The funny thing, and this is a horse that's getting tremendous attention. I don't want to say for the wrong reason, but there's people that are watching this action of his. And I asked George last week after Bluegrass, the swimming motion.
The paddling motion of the left leg,
and I said to George, I said, is he compensating for towing in, towing out? Is there? And he said, no. He said his confirmation is 100%. He said we wouldn't have bought him if he didn't have the confirmation. And he said this is just something he's doing. It's just his way of going.
Some people think he does it from his shoulder, but the interesting thing is, he doesn't really get a lot of respect. I mean, he didn't get one first place vote in that Derby does, not one. And so, I mean, the horse has done everything that's asked of him. I mean, the criticism has been with a horse with that action, you may not be able to keep sound. But there was somebody else who ran like that, Steve. I can't remember who it was. It was a pretty successful horse. But here's the question to ask yourself. Steve, would you and I rather own this horse with that motion, and he'd be fast, or a horse that has the perfect gait and is slow? I'm okay with it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's not going to stop you at this point. And this was that Mona DeMama, the mayor, the Spitestown mayor, she... absolutely a nice stake horse herself. And
But she's the question mark. I mean, when everybody questions this horse, the distance. And, George and I, when we're running the Commonwealth, we said, we're going to find out. But I will tell you something. That horse couldn't blow out a candle after the Commonwealth. I mean, and he's still learning. He turns his head and he looks around a little bit. He's only had five races. And he's not going to be three till after the Derby.
Yeah, I mean, after the Preakness, May 22nd. He's a May 22nd foal.
Yeah, and that's another reason why a lot of people didn't want to buy him.
Well, when we look at Mona DeMama, and John Sadler trained her, and she was a Humana Distaff winner, so she's got that 7/8 speed, and he certainly accelerated through the mile and the eighth and finished like a horse that the mile and a quarter is not gonna be a problem.
I'm with you, and I mean, look, if you look at the Derby too, I mean, I think Tax has got a shot. He actually ran a better figure than Vekoma. But when I look at Vekoma, and so I'm handicapping that race, there's not a lot of speed in that race, and I've got a horse with natural speed that doesn't need this. It showed you in the Bluegrass, he does not need the lead. He can lay right off it, and when he wants to go by, he goes by. And look, the interesting thing that you got to feel confident about if you own the horse. Is JJ picked us to ride again, and he's run a lot of good horses, and he has some choices.
Yeah, so fair point. Castellano comes back to ride, and you bring up the right point between him and I suppose Maximum Security. Although when you look at the pace numbers, the way the pace sets up, everybody kind of looking to you and a little bit to Omaha Beach. Those are the clear, the horses that have front end speed. Maximum Security didn't go fast in the first half of the Florida Derby, but the expectation is that that he'll be forward. So you look at the way these derbies have been won of late, and being up on the front end is the place to be. Let's talk about Tax, because Danny Gargan did a masterful job here too. Starting with the claim, that's number one, and for $50,000 from Claiborne, and then he had a very deliberate plan as well when he said after the Withers, we're waiting for the wood, and we're going to get in via the wood, and he absolutely I mean, other than Tacitus, running into Tacitus, he tuned tax up perfectly into the Wood Memorial.
Well, I could agree with you, but I'll tell you, you want a little backstory. Danny called me up when he claimed tax, and because he said, Randy, you want to buy half. And it was at a time when I didn't have many horses winning, and you know, and I said, Danny, I got enough horses. I don't need to buy this horse. So then the horse goes that way. That goes up there. I said, okay, you got to let me back in. So the interesting thing about tax is when McComber ran in the Sound of Youth, you have to remember he was off for 4 months. And you have to remember when Tax ran in the Wood, he'd been off for 4 weeks, five weeks. So I think he's going to take a step forward off of that race, and that was Danny's plan. The great thing about this year, Steve, is that you don't have a justify. You don't have a horse that's over that just lays over everybody else, and you have no chance to beat him. This is a wide open Derby.
That's the way it's being built. And I mean, other than Omaha Beach, who seems to come in, I think, with just the slightest, you know, little nod and the slightest edge to favoritism, it's a very confusing picture. Tax, we look at him, he's by Arch and out of the Giants Causeway mare, and certainly on pedigree is a horse that's going to relish it, you would think, a mile and a quarter.
No doubt, he's got the best foundation of any horse in the race. He's run a mile and eight three times. The horse gives you everything he has. Danny's plan is right in place. You know, I would have loved to win the Wood and the Commonwealth on the same day, of course. But the horse ran a tremendous race, I thought, coming off that layoff, and he's I'll tell you, Steve, both of those horses today are better than they've ever been. I mean, I expect both of them to take a step forward.
Well, and Tax at Belmont, of course, with Gargan, and George down at Palm Beach Downs. How soon? What's the timing plan? Are they both going to basically ship in on top of Derby?
George is going to follow the same exact plan he followed with the company. They'll ship him in on Tuesday before the Derby. Okay. I haven't talked to Danny, but Danny's probably Tuesday or Wednesday. But yeah, I don't think he's made up his mind yet. But, you know, look, George said to me, you want to keep him Keeneland. I said, George, you're the trainer, but here's my feeling. You know, we got a winning formula. You have the horse with you. You know, the horse, Cindy knows the horse. And you know, let's stay with the winning formula. And, you know, Danny obviously, no sense to ship the horse the same way, you know. And the fun thing about Pacoma, you don't have to worry about whether he can run on a different track. He's run on four or five different tracks in one.
Yep.
Or three
yep.
or four different tracks in one. So I'm not worried about that.
And Pacoma, Belmont, Aqueduct, Gulfstream, and Keeneland. Four different tracks for him, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But Taxis run, yeah. actually run mostly in New York, but I meant Pacoma's run on four different tracks.
Yeah.
And the good thing, too, is you're always glad you have a jockey who knows the horse and won on the horse. And then, you know, you got a Hall of Fame jockey. I mean, you know, I'm thrilled. I believe you. Sometimes I wake up. You know, it took me, Steve, 3 days to realize that I won the Commonwealth. I said,
Bluegrass.
My God.
The Bluegrass. The Commonwealth was majestic. That was majestic,
right.
Randy, the Commonwealth.
It took me 3 days to realize I woke up and said, I won the $1 million Bluegrass. I said, my God, I mean, if somebody would have told me last year, Randy, you'll win the Bluegrass, and that's all you were going to win for the year, I would have said, okay, I'm in.
You'll sign up for that, absolutely. Well, and you've tied in, you're speaking of that, you know, we mentioned about, you know, buying into some horses and the philosophy, you know, which has kind of evolved for you. But, you know, Channel Maker you tied in with Gary Barber and Adam Wachtel, and Breaking Lucky you had fun with the Pegasus. You know, you're up for an investment for that kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, you know. I agree with you. You know, I think I've bought the right horses. I think I'm holding a strong hand. I mean, you know, Channel Maker, I think he certainly has had a little bit of disappointment, but he's going to run in the Man of War, and I think, you know, I think Billy will get him back where he needs to be. So, you know, I looked down the road. I mean, I can't look past the first Saturday in May. I mean, people ask me about my horse, and I say, I don't know. I mean, I said, I want it to be a week from Tuesday when I'm taking a plane down there to go for the draw.
How many derbies have you been to?
I always said I'd never go to Derby unless I ran, so I never went to this my first one.
Oh my God! I didn't. I would have thought that you would have had undercard. You would have had an undercard starter
too.
No, I did.
No, I'm sorry. I had one undercard. I had Road Victory in an undercard. I stand corrected. I've been to one Derby. The year it rained, it was about 30 degrees.
That feels like every year, but
this year it's supposed to be 75.
No, well, Louisville is a place you don't count on anything until Thursday night. That's when you can make a determination about what it's going to be like on Saturday in Louisville.
Right.
It's the worst. There's no place with more volatile weather. It's unbelievable.
My wife is planning, like, we're going to the Caribbean and we're going on a winter vacation. So.
This vacation, though, this trip to Louisville, this will be really special. And I know you've heard me say it because you're always very kind and send me a note when you hear it. But you're one of the people around the game that deserves as much success as can come your way. And this feels like, I'm not going to call it an embarrassment of riches because it's not.
No.
It's wonderful. It's just great.
Well, Steve, that means a lot coming from you. You're also one of the great guys in this game, and it's been a pleasure knowing you, and I really appreciate you taking the time with me this morning.
No, I could not resist. And I said Monday immediately after the Wood and Bluegrass weekend, I said, we're having a Randy Hill visit to celebrate the upcoming opportunity to send out two horses in a Kentucky Derby. And Danny Gargan got taxed there, and George Weaver, who has been before, and George, one of those guys that knows what this territory is. So does Danny, who's Kentucky. They've already speculated if Gargan wins a Derby, they're worried about burning down half of the Ville. They better have riot police in Danny's neighborhood.
Well, you got two local traders coming home.
Yep.
But I'll say this to you. I was talking. We had a partners meeting, so I was talking to my partner. I said I made the front cover of the Blood Horse. I said I'd rather be in the front cover of Blood Horse than the Wall Street Journal.
Well, the magazine covers and newspaper sports sections and more. There could be plenty to come yet, and keep them healthy and happy. And Randy, we will see you at the draw Tuesday afternoon.
Yep.
2 weeks from yesterday or 2 weeks from this past Tuesday.
Yep.
It's going to be great, and few people will enjoy it the way you and your wife will.
Well, thanks again, Steve. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Randy Hill, everybody.
See you at the Derby.
You got it. Randy Hill and the
bye-bye.
Pink Jacket. They'll see you soon. The Pink Jacket, R-A-H, Randy A. Hill, you'll see it. And it's one of the really, really fun stories of the spring. The May 22nd part of this is crazy. I mean, with Vekoma. That he wouldn't even be three at Preakness, let alone Derby. And let's see. Let me see what Tax was when his how old? Just curious. There's no real positive or negative. This is a topic we haven't talked about in a long time, but we have talked about it. There's no negative associated per se with being a late foal. April or May. Tax an April 20th drop. So his real birthday is Saturday. Tax. Arch out of Toll. And very nice. Very nice. You know, that family, Toll, that's and Tax. This is all Claiborne, Dill Schneider family. That Toll was Al Stahl trained Toll. So both mares, both of these horses, Vekoma and Tax. Let's take a break. Got to get to Dick Powell and the Champions action at Hong Kong looming. Step away. Come right back later. Tony Black, Steve Haskin, and more. Stay with us.